Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over this long period of time, and some of you may be a little bit weary with such long studies, but it's very important over this long period of time that we have moved slowly through the book of Galatians. It's a very important doctrinal book. It includes some very important teaching that we need today. In fact, we desperately need it in our day because of the prevalence of false teachers. False teachers are everywhere today. They have hundreds and hundreds of followers, whether it's in Guam or whether it's in the Philippines or in the United States. These false teachers have hundreds and maybe thousands of followers. And they're everywhere. They're knocking on your door. They're on the radio. They're on television. They're everywhere trying to spread their false teachings. So it's very important that we Christians understand the foundations of our faith and the doctrinal truth, not only of salvation itself, but of the Christian life. And so it's important we go through a book like Galatians. Galatians was the first of Paul's epistles. It was written in 48 AD following his first missionary journey, and it addresses the first of very serious doctrinal errors which were going to come in that year and in the years to come. In other words, more and more, Satan would be introducing false teaching into the churches and into the individual lives of the believers in those churches. And so today, the same thing is true. Now, I want to say, no matter how powerful Satan is, greater is he who is within you than he who is in the world. This is taught in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. If you belong to the Lord Jesus, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. You don't need to follow the false teachers. You don't need to listen to their teachings. You can turn them off on the radio, on television. You can refuse to let them into your house. You make the choice yourself. Because greater is he who is within you than Satan, who is motivating, propelling these false teachers to approach you and to try to teach you their false teachings. I also want to say, and again I want to say very kindly and very carefully, many of you are very religious people. It's not the teaching of Galatians you're following, the false teaching of Galatians you're following, rather, but it's other false teaching you're following. In other words, you may be very religious. People have told you it's through this church you're going to be saved. It's praying to these people. They're going to help you be saved. People who have died, maybe who were good people before, but who themselves were sinners needing to be saved by the grace of God. But pray to these people and they'll help you reach your salvation. And, of course, you follow also the things that they tell you to do in the church. It may be baptism in our church. Somebody will say to you, well, unless you're baptized, your sins are not washed away. Now, this teaching would never be taught in our church, but some false teacher may say that to you. Baptism will help send you to heaven. This, of course, is false teaching. It's only a testimony. It has nothing to do with the means of salvation. It's only a testimony of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a public stand for him, in other words. So, whether it's other people you pray to, whether it's the sacraments or the ordinances we call them in our churches, or whether it's the church itself, or whether it's people who lead the church, these things are not going to help you go to heaven. It's only by the grace of God you're going to be saved. Now, the Galatians were being told that it was through the following of the law of Moses that they could not only gain salvation, but they could keep their salvation and then live the Christian lives. Some of them perhaps were teaching only, you will keep your salvation this way. Otherwise, if you don't follow the law of Moses, you may lose it. Now, some people today believe they can lose their salvation. Salvation is not eternal, in other words, that God did not give them eternal life when he saved them. It was only dependent upon would they do good works after they were saved. Then they could keep their salvation. No, we don't need to get saved again and again. Every time we commit some sin or something, we don't need to get saved. We need to get our lives right with God as far as the Christian life is concerned because we're out of fellowship with him, but we haven't lost our salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. Now let's come into Galatians very quickly. The first four chapters, remember, dealt with the means of God's salvation and why the law cannot possibly be considered a means of salvation, a means of helping us gain it or of keeping it or even of living the Christian life. And so the chapter 4 of Galatians Following Paul's testimony in chapters 1 and part of chapter 2, and then the doctrinal truths he presents, the last part of chapter 4 came out with the idea that we are now free from the law. We're not under the bondage of the law anymore. It had its purpose. They needed to be sharply kept and under bondage and discipline towards the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now that He has come, He's died on the cross for their sins, He has finished His work, they're not under this bondage anymore. Now we've come into chapter 5, and the first part of chapter 5, and let me just quickly in a few sentences review it. The first part of chapter 5 was dealing with a misunderstanding concerning salvation by grace through faith. Of course, salvation is by grace through faith, but now, through the indwelling Holy Spirit, through His teaching ministry, His leading ministry, and His empowering ministry, we can have victory over sin, and we can live righteously, we can live holy lives, in other words, pleasing to God and honoring to Him. And so there was a misunderstanding concerning this, and this is talked about in verses 1 to 15. The misunderstanding was this: I am free in Jesus. I have liberty in Jesus, and this frees me to live as I please. So in verse 13, he very strongly deals with this, and he says this in verse 13, "Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, except, or only, do not use your liberty for an occasion or an opportunity for the flesh, but by love serve one another. Do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." In other words, it's no excuse for sin. Don't ever think that this would be God's idea. God is against sin. He hates sin. He hates it in the unsaved man. He hates it in the Christian. And so He wants us to live righteous and holy lives. Now, this is not teaching sinless perfection. Some people teach, well, once we have been saved, then we'll never sin again. I wish this were true. We'll always be tempted to sin, but we don't have to be overcome by sin. In other words, we confess little sins of our minds, of our feelings, our attitudes, our words, our actions, our desires, whatever. We confess these daily to God. We get forgiveness from them, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we get the victory over the sin, and then we don't do it anymore. Now, we're going to be tempted day by day, so it's not sinless perfection, but it is living victoriously in the Lord Jesus Christ. Daily victory over sin, daily forgiveness of sins that we do commit, and going on free from those sins. So, that was the first part. Now, answering this misunderstanding, which had come up again in Romans 6, it comes up again in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in Romans chapter 14, it comes up again, where people were thinking, I can do as I please, leave me alone. No, we can't do as we please. So when a preacher, when a teacher who's studying and using the Word of God admonishes you concerning sin in your life, listen to him, because he's speaking from God's Word. He's speaking from God Himself. And so we've come down to verse 16, and we began the study of this in the last passage, this passage from verses 16 to 26. Let me read just a couple of these verses again, and then I want to talk about this for the next few minutes before we close this particular lesson. And then we're going to begin down in verse 17 the next time, especially verse 19. We're going to begin there, the works of the flesh and how these works of the flesh defeat us, and then finally the fruits of the Spirit. So the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit are going to be contrasted later. But let's read now, beginning with verse 16 and 17. "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye want to do or would. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now I'm going to stop right here. Now in this passage of Scripture, and we pointed a little bit about this, he introduces this section in Galatians 5, 16 to 26 with these few words. He has a strong assertion that the indwelling Holy Spirit is the only means of gaining victory over the flesh. Not only is it the only means, but we must live by the Spirit. We're to walk by the Spirit, in other words. We're to depend completely on Him. And I want to talk about this a little bit with you. So such victory over the flesh could not come by adhering to the hundreds of regulations under the law. I pointed this out a number of times. That section in Romans chapter 7, verses 7 to 25, and you can read this yourselves, where this man is seeking earnestly and desperately to live by his own self-efforts, and he's totally failing, totally defeated. He's despairing, even of life itself. Woe is me, who can deliver me from this bondage of death, or from this life of death? So the danger is that even Christians who realize a need to live righteously before God in lives of sanctification and holiness might be using the wrong means of living that Christian life. And it's very important you understand this. Of course, I have to make the right choices. Of course, I have to obey the Spirit and so forth. Of course, I have to discipline myself in following the leading and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. But it's by the Holy Spirit that the victory can come. It's not through self-efforts. It's not through simply trying through self-efforts to live a better life, live a good life, as some people say. But rather, it's finding the help and work of the Holy Spirit. So many people choose the wrong means of finding that victory over sin. And thus, they're going to completely fail to find that victory and please God, no matter how much they try. And I want to speak in appreciation for the sincerity of many people, but they may be sincerely wrong. Even though they're very sincere, and they sincerely are trying to live the Christian life, if they're not depending upon the Holy Spirit, if they're simply depending upon their own self-efforts, they're not going to live that work. They're not going to live that work that pleases God, that life that pleases God. Now, in this passage, and in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, and you can study these passages for yourself, but in this passage, it's very clear that the Holy Spirit is completely adequate to meet every need in our lives. Now, that's what Jesus is emphasizing in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. There are a lot of teachings in that section. And when you go through the Gospel of John, go through it slowly. Every section of it, the person work of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I be saved from my sins and so forth? And again, when you come to chapters 14, 15, and 16, in fact, begin with chapter 13, where it talks about servanthood, where to serve one another. But in 14, 15, and 16, you come into the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And there are something like 10 or 12 different ministries that the Holy Spirit has in our lives. There's no need in our lives. He gives peace if you're one who worries and fears. He gives joy if you're one who despairs and you need joy and happiness in your life. The Holy Spirit perfectly meets every need in our lives. There's no need that is not met. And so I can depend upon the Holy Spirit in my life. And I want to emphasize again, He does not force His sanctifying work on us. I want to emphasize this. He does not force us to live Christian lives. Rather, He enables us. We ourselves have to choose. Sometimes we blame God. Why haven't you given me victory over sin? No, you made the choice. God didn't make you sin. You chose to sin. And or you were not relying upon the Holy Spirit. You're walking in your own efforts, or you were walking simply in the flesh without even trying. So you don't blame God for anything. Why you've fallen into the depths of sin. Why a man might be a drunken man. Why a man might be a slave to some other sin in his life. Why his thought life is so out of control. Why he's lusting in the flesh and so forth. So people blame God. Why didn't you help me? Why didn't you come to my aid? He did come to your aid, but you made the choice. So that's the important truth. He does not force his sanctifying work upon us as he indwells us. We ourselves must voluntarily submit to Him in everything. So there are two things when it talks about walking in the Spirit. First of all, the idea of dependence upon Him. We completely depend upon Him. I cannot do this myself, but as I walk in the Word of God and walk by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, I can have victory over sin. He will teach me from the Word of God what I should do, and then by His strength and His power, He will enable me to do it. So we completely depend. But it also is the idea not just of dependence, but submission to Him. Submission to the direction and the control of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this is very, very important. we submit ourselves. Of course, in a very general way, we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God Himself, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We submit our lives. We dedicate ourselves completely to Him. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And you're familiar with that passage, I'm sure. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies, that's what he says, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All right, so there's the idea of dependence, but also submission. We're submitted to him. Now, of course, the same is true in our salvation. Let me go back there for a moment as I close. The Holy Spirit does not force us to be saved. We make the choice. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. It says Romans chapter 16, convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. He will help draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will in every way enable us to understand the truth of salvation clearly. He will even help us toward that path, but we have to choose. He does not believe for us. He does not exercise faith for us. Ephesians chapter 2, rather, clearly states that it's salvation by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. And it's by faith the salvation comes. It's not of yourselves, but I still have to exercise the faith. So the Holy Spirit will help you in every way in salvation. But we ourselves respond to His preparing work in our lives, His work of drawing us to the Lord Jesus, and then we make the decisions ourselves concerning about salvation. And then, of course, we come to Christ by faith. We make this decision. We voluntarily come. God will never force us to do it. So I want to stop right here. Our time is gone. But I want to say, if you've never truly been saved, if you're religious but lost, you're a member of a church, you go to church faithfully, you obey everything the church tells you to do, but you've never obeyed the Word of God to come to the Lord Jesus alone as your only means of salvation. As according to John 3:16, the verse you know, 3:36, 14:6, and many, many other passages of Scripture. There is none other name under heaven, Acts 4:12, by which we might be saved. And so, we come to Him by faith. Have you done this in your life? And if not, that's the first step you need to take. And then as a Christian, you need to walk in the Spirit. And this is the teaching we're going to be continuing to teach you in these coming lessons. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So please God with your lives in salvation and in the Christian life. And may God help you, each one.